I will read the scripture from the Message, 2 Kings 4, 1-7. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revealed the Lord. But now, as his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing here at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God that he said, Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and your sons can live on what is left. Dale Stalsfus is here to preach a sermon this morning. The title of his sermon is "God Works in Unexpected Ways." Welcome, Dale.
There are many stories in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, as well as in our church history, that provide lessons and encouragement for our life today. My theme for us this morning is not one of change, but hopefully one that will encourage us to continue as a congregation as we've been doing. God has been at work trying to help his people understand who he is as Creator God and the God for all peoples of the world. Over the centuries, God has called out prophets and leaders and pastors to help people follow God in faithfulness. There have been times when we have not been as faithful as we should have been, and times of faithfulness. Our lesson today from 2 Kings helps us to understand the importance of leaders who help the people understand and follow the true God in faithful ways. The story notes that there was a prophet by the name of Elisha, but prior to that it was Elijah. And so it continues today that leaders follow leaders, pastors follow pastors. 1 Kings writings introduce Elijah. He was a great and respected prophet in his day, but he ran into some trouble when he was working with the king of the time, King Ahab, and his wife Jezebel. The engagement led to conflicts, and at one time he needed to flee from death threats, but he was sustained by God for 40 days and 40 nights. The lesson this morning introduces the ministry of Elisha, who follows Elijah the prophet. And to introduce that, I'm going to note the writings from 2 Kings chapter 2 for a couple of verses. "Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you.' So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from you?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.'" Elisha desired a double portion of the spirit of Elijah, and it was granted to him. The following writings now in 2 Kings introduce us to the many interactions Elisha had with the people, as well as many miracles that followed him. 2 Kings 4 was read to you. In our lesson today, in this introduction of the story of the widow who was about to lose her children because of the debts that she had, the threat was that her sons would be taken away in slavery. But she has some faith in the prophet, as that was part of her heritage. And she responded by saying, "All I have is a small jar of olive oil." Verse 3 notes that they went around all the neighbors and collected jars. We don't know how many, but I'm assuming it was more than a few from the story here, because it says she kept on pouring oil into these jars. The point I want to make here is that as Elisha was interacting with her, she had no clue what was going to happen. So she needed to respond in faith to this word, "bring jars." And she followed through in that. Another interesting part of this story is that now her children are witnessing a miracle. They're standing there probably wondering, how is this happening, that all of these jars that were empty are now being filled from one small jar of olive oil. But the story says that with her many jars of oil, she paid off her debts and had oil or resources for her family for many, many years. But there is another story that follows this one in 2 Kings, and that is a story of a wealthy woman in a village befriended by Elisha. When he would pass through the village, she provided him with a meal, the Bible says. But she said to her husband, "Look, I am sure that Elisha is a holy man of God." So they decided to offer Elisha not just a meal when he passed through, but a room. And so they built a room in their house for him to stay while he was passing through. In the interaction, though, as Elisha was talking, she noted that she was not able to have children because of an age factor. But Elisha said to her, "One year from now, at this time, you will have a child." And that happened. And you can read more of that dramatic story. It's a long story here in 2 Kings chapter 4. But at one point, the child dies. And it's a very dramatic way, again, in which Elisha brings the child back to life. Another miracle that takes place during Elisha's time here is a story of Naaman the leper, who was cured. The lesson today that I want to note for our congregation here is a reminder that God has been at work in his world and his people throughout history, but God's work in doing miraculous ways and works with us continues to be among us today through the power of his Spirit. God continues today to act in unexpected ways, just as he did to the woman and her oil. I also want to note, reflecting on the work of Elisha, that God continues to call leaders, pastors, to responsibilities in the past, and continues to call leaders to lead today. In the Old Testament and New Testament, we have people in the New Testament like Paul and Timothy and many others. God calls faith leaders to come and lead the people. As Anabaptist Mennonites, as peoples, we too, over the years, have affirmed the calling of pastors to lead and to work among us. As a matter of fact, in 1915, in 1527, Mennonite leaders gathered and wrote something called the Schleitheim Confession. Article 5 states, "But if the shepherd should be driven away or led to the Lord by the cross, at the same hour another shall be ordained to his place, so that the flock of God may not be destroyed." God continues to gift leaders, pastors, for leadership roles in our congregation and here at Whitmer Heights. You've experienced over the years many different pastors and leaders among you. You're now being blessed with Pastor Steve, and April is also part of that leadership blessing that we are receiving. But as a congregation, we can find two very basic actions from our lesson today that I'd like to highlight. As the woman cried out to Elisha for help so that her sons would not be taken into slavery, so too today we need to find times to cry out to God for help. That's an action on our part. It means that we need to do something to try to remedy the dilemma we might be in. The woman cried out to Elisha for help because she cared for her sons who were about to be taken from her. She believed Elisha to be a man of God. I am sure the miracle response from Elisha was a surprise. Who would have imagined what might happen when you bring empty jars? But she did ask for help, and that is what I want to note here. Elisha's story happens here because even here at Whitmer Heights, on a regular basis, we at times have cried out and will continue to need to cry out for action for the dilemmas we face. We say, we need miracles today for healing of our pains, our memories, and actions of ill health, whatever we might have. We also cry out, "Pastor, help us deal with the loss of our loved ones. Pastor, help us ask for ways to respond to the injustices in our world and in our local community. Wars continue. We have noted a peace lamp as a way of saying, God, move among us. But we don't just do that on our own. We do have in our congregation leaders to help us to ask and know how to respond. Pastor, fill our empty jars with love and grace from Almighty God." But Whitmer Heights also has ways to respond to our leaders and our pastors, just as the wealthy woman did in this town of Shunan. She provided meals for Elisha as he passed through her village. She also stated that Elisha was a man of God, affirming that God is dwelling among us in our leaders. But because she also provided a meal, she provided a bed, a table, chairs, and lamp in a room for him to stay as he passed through. Soon she was granted the miracle of having a child. And as I noted, the child had at one point died, and Elisha restored this child back to life. You at Whitmer Heights also have persons who provide meals, who care about leaders, who care about your pastor, and not only provide meals sometimes, but you provide rooms, a room for additional needs for your pastor. I would like to remind us this morning then that we must continue to provide not only prayer and resources for our leaders, but support in all areas of life. Support so that together we can move forward. I would like, in conclusion, to highlight these two areas. One is, part of our role as a congregation is to affirm that God calls leaders and has given us leaders and a pastor. We believe in that, and we need to act on that. But pastors and leaders, and I've worked with many congregations, sometimes are taken for granted. You know, we pay you a salary, and we tell you we love you, and that should be enough. But pastors have needs beyond that. Our leaders need to feel and experience the love we have for them through, as they pass through, asking for their help in our dilemmas. I know you've done that, but my point this morning is, let's not just dwell on the past, but let's understand that that's our life for the future. As different ones of us here in the congregation experience either pains or a variety of losses, let's feel free to ask our pastor to help us understand the miracle that we might receive from God. Miracles aren't always as we expect or desire, but God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform in our personal lives and in our congregation. But also, we have the responsibility to not always ask for help, but we have the responsibility to, at times, provide the resources that are needed. So we as a congregation want to make sure that our leaders don't burn out, that they don't find that they find resources to keep them going, so that we might, as a people of faith, continue to grow in the grace and love of God, so that we can continue to be Jesus in action. And my prayer is that as a new member of this congregation, I can find ways to do this with you, to not only ask for the help and expect the miracle, but to also provide the resources, the love and care in a variety of ways. And that's my desire.